Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris Perry. In her new book, Raising Them Right, Kyle Spencer documents a coordinated and well-funded right-wing movement aimed at young people to bring ultra-conservative and sometimes radical ideas into the mainstream. Organizations have spent millions of dollars recruiting and training young people. They use social media, flashy trips to conservative conferences in vacation hotspots, celebrity conservatives, and wedge issues from the so-called culture wars to draw in young folks, preparing them to become future leaders of American conservatism. Joining me now is Kyle Spencer, author of the book Raising Them Right, The Untold Story of America's Ultra-Conservative Youth Movement and Its Plot for Power. Kyle, welcome to The Takeaway.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Listen, as I am thinking about and having read the book, my main takeaway, I suppose, in part was, well, it seems like, isn't that what you're supposed to do if you want your ideology to continue to be relevant into the next generation? Aren't you supposed to invest in young people, what they think and how they think?
Yeah, it's a great point, because when I was working on this book and I first started letting the young people I was writing about that I was going to be doing this, I would explain to them that I was actually very impressed with how they were organizing and how they were supported by their elders financially and otherwise. And one of them said to me, "So what you're doing is you're writing a guidebook for the Democrats." And I kind of, you know, said, maybe, I hope so.
Look, I mean, it's not a small point. And, you know, I've spent my entire career as a college professor, 25 years on a variety of college campuses. I have certainly seen some of this investment, everything from my students, many of them truly students with whom I'm quite close and have had productive working relationships, who are part of Turning Point. And I've watched the support of conservative newspapers, student-run newspapers on campus that sometimes have larger budgets than some campus units. And again, on one hand, I can see why that can feel like, you know, sort of outsiders coming in. Again, on the other hand, I see the guidebook aspect.
Yeah, I mean, the problem there, the challenge that we have, I think, for Democrats versus Republicans, is that there is really an attempt to pass down a guidebook and an ideology and a way of doing things that is very systematic and very organized. And that's been really baked into this, to the modern conservative movement, which obviously sprung up in the 1960s. And the Democrats, liberals, progressives, they just don't have that kind of cohesiveness. And I think what we're seeing right now is they're reaping the benefits of years and years of organizing and training. And the Democrats are seeing the effects of what happens when you don't do that.
So talk to me a little bit about the actual history and strategies here.
Yeah. So the modern conservative movement, the faction of it that I'm really writing about here, starts at the Republican National Convention. Barry, 1960s, Barry Goldwater wins the Republican nominee and goes off to run against Lyndon Johnson. And he has a huge following among young conservatives. And he's like fiery, hates the press, and every man hates the elitist liberals. And they just fall in love with him and work hard to try to get him elected. Of course, he loses to Lyndon Johnson, and they're devastated. And I think this is, I just want to make this point. It's really important to understand that the modern conservative movement that we see right now holding so much control in our country started at a moment when conservatives felt that they had been utterly defeated. And the reason I bring that up is, just as a little bit of an aside, we can have hope, right? We can have hope because a lot of Democrats right now feel utterly defeated, but that's how they began. So they go to Washington, these young guys, mostly guys, but a few gals, and they say, we're going to build this thing, and we're going to build it for the long term. We're going to organize, we're going to get funding, we're going to create think tanks, we're going to create conferences, and perhaps most importantly, we're going to start a training academy called the Leadership Institute, where we're going to teach young people how to organize. And so everything that we see now, the kind of cohesiveness and the group think and the group talk, even the online social media messaging that can be so abhorrent to so many progressives and to Democrats and liberals, but that seems to be so alarmingly effective for conservatives, this was all baked into their plan.
How do you square this with the kind of public discourse that young voters are basically all Democrats, that bringing young voters in will improve the chances of the Democratic Party, and I think the very strong myth that college campuses are hotbeds of progressivism?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a myth. I honestly think we're going to see this election what happens with young voters, because what we saw in 2020 is that close to 40% of young voters voted for Trump, which I think people don't realize. I think people keep thinking that when we get young voters to the polls, that means Democrats win. I don't know if that's true anymore, partially because these guys, or largely because these folks on the other side, have gotten so good at talking to young voters. But I would say that when you look at the policies that Democrats hold, and you look even at what Biden has done in the last 2 years, he has really worked to help young people. You've got Build Back Better, you've got a focus on the environment, and you've got the student debt relief, right? And we're going to see how well he was able to message this commitment he has to young people. But in general, the Democrats have not been good in the last, you know, some odd years of really messaging their commitment to young people. But what the Republicans and what the conservatives, particularly on college campuses, have been good at is messaging who Democrats are, who liberals are. So you get this kind of void, this inability to get through the chaos and get through the noise among Democrats to talk to young people. And then you juxtapose that with this very, very effective negative labeling, consistent, constant, relentless, repetitive labeling of what Democrats and liberals are. And then you get, you can sort of start to understand why young people might be getting an idea about Democrats that's more negative.
So, Kyle, you've given us a little bit of an idea about the strategies. Tell us a bit more about the specific strategies here for bringing young people into the conservative fold.
Yeah, so one of the things that you see a lot on college campuses is that these folks like to traffic in culture war issues, and they like to stay away from actual, real, substantial issues. Again, because if these young activists were really going to talk about who cares about getting the cost of college down, who really cares about the environment, who cares about protecting young people from gun violence, who cares about minimum wage, then if you were looking at those issues, and if Democrats were able to really discuss those issues and to really get their viewpoints and their positions on those issues out, and the young conservatives would really have not a lot of leg to stand on. But what you find is that these conservative kids are taught to stay very, very focused on culture war issues and to use this kind of tribalism that we're seeing in our country right now to their benefit. And the thing about tribalism is, we know a lot of studies have shown that tribalism is really how people are looking at politics today. And we see it. We don't need to read studies. We can see it when we go online. We can see it when we talk to people, that there's a kind of us and them, and that people are kind of much more interested in what tribe they belong to, what kind of coffee they drink, or where they live, than they are really in actual party systems at this point. And young people are kind of very, they're very used to tribalism, because tribalism is clicky, right? It's like, I'm a beardo lefty, or he's a beardo lefty who likes to do XYZ. I'm more conservative dressing person who goes to church, right? So when you start to use culture wars and divide people, which is what these young kids do on college campuses, then they can start name calling. That guy on the campus over there with the beard and the tattoos, he's lazy. He supports immigrants who are going to come to this campus and take jobs away from folks after they graduate. He wants kids of color to come in through affirmative action and take your jobs. He doesn't really want to go get a job. What he wants to do is to use social welfare programs, and you're going to go and you're going to get a job, and he's going to take your money, right? So this is this constant defining of what progressives and liberals are on college campuses, and this is what one of the tactics that these guys use. Again, let's stay away from real issues. Let's just talk in kind of clicky tribalism terms.
So for me, college campuses should be spaces where all kinds of ideas, even some that we find reprehensible or repulsive, should be available for conversation, discussion, examination. I actually think that in our general public space, but certainly on our college campuses. So talk to me about how to allow a free marketplace of ideas, and how those interested in injecting more progressive, liberal, or democratic ideas can be part of engaging in that marketplace.
Yeah, so the thing that happens on college campuses right now is that young people are told that it's actually conservative kids who don't get a word in edgewise, that there's a campaign that conservatives and the conservative industry has created, which is to constantly highlight any instance in which a progressive kid is actually, you know, getting in the face of a conservative or trying in any way, shape or form to keep really gross ideas off of their campus. But that's really not what's happening. That's just a system that these kids are taught to do, which is to video, audio, anything that happens on a college campus that a progressive does, to slap it up online, to edit it, and to make people in this country think that college campuses are intolerant for conservatives, when the reality is conservatives are the ones that are having the most loudest, most obnoxious, most intrusive voice on these campuses, because conservatives spend so much money funneling money into publications, into tabling, into organizations, and into speakers.
Kyle Spencer is author of the new book, Raising Them Right. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.